beside a puff of cheese. Do you like doing what you're told to do?
Award.
Hello, hello. This is the very first Arts Award voice podcast. My name is Tom and I will be your host for this show, but I am also joined by Flossie.
Hello, I'm Flossie. I'm content editor for Arts Award Voice.
Thank you. We have got a lot on the show, so we're going to push forward. That, first of all, was a sample of a song by Josh Savage, who we have an interview with later, so please do stick around for that. But on the show also, we have got news headlines, we've got what's happening within the Youth Network leadership, we've got a discussion about some of the content that you've been posting up on Arts Award Voice. Then we have the interview with Josh, which is going to be awesome. Like, he's a really good musician and the interview is going to be amazing. And then we will quickly summarise and hopefully we will have the whole of that song to play for you at the end of this podcast. So without any further ado, let's start with the news. This is the news with Arts Award Voice, and basically what we're going to do is we're just going to give you some of the headlines of the news that we've found over the last couple of weeks, and all of the stories can be found on artsawardvoice.com, and this will be really good for your gold award because it sort of shows independent research. So we're just going to give you the headline news, and then you can log on to artsawardvoice.com or any sort of major news organisation and find out what's been going on in the arts world. So without any further ado, let's begin.
Remote-controlled robots are to roam around the Tate Britain at night, with people at home able to control where they go. A petition for Disney to feature plus-sized Disney princesses has gained 22,000 signatures. Plans have been announced for a musical of the 80s classic film Back to the Future. Canadian band Skinny Puppy have claimed compensation from the US government for using their music during torture of Guantanamo Bay detainees. In lighter news, Damien Hirst has created a spot painting of Mickey Mouse, with all proceeds to go to charity Kids Company. And to mark the release of the Lego movie, Warner Brothers has recreated well-known existing adverts using Lego.
And that's the news with Arts Award Voice Podcast. Okay, so this next section, we're kind of debating on the name currently, but we're thinking about calling it YNL Watch. This is the section where we talk about what's been happening with the YNL. So for those of you who don't know, the YNL stands for the Youth Network Leaders, and they're kind of the Arts Award call to arms, like that we are on the front line, so to speak. It's a group of young people all around the UK who, I think there's 15 of us currently, who do things for Arts Award, basically. So we run consultations, we run exchange events where we bring together different art centres and have young people collaborate. We do a lot of discussion work on the direction that Arts Award should perhaps go in. So we are basically like the bridge between young people and Arts Award, the actual centre, so to speak. Not the centre, what is the word I'm looking for, Flossie? So, like, Arts Award, the actual organisation. So that is what the YNL do, and we are going to discuss what one of our YNLs have done recently. Flossie.
So, a couple of weeks ago, one of our YNLs, Meredith, who's a youth network leader for the East Midlands, organised a brilliant exchange event, which had over 20 people attend. They came together to share portfolio work, see films with inspiring local projects, had a few centres in to talk about opportunities they have available, and I think they learned how to do poi, and they participated in light painting, which sounds really cool. And it was hosted at the Lace Market Gallery, which was operated by New College Nottingham. And yeah, it sounds amazing. It was Meredith's first event, so it was absolutely incredible that she hosted it. The pictures look great, and you can read more about it on Arts Award Voice.
Yes. I also would like to give a personal congratulations to Meredith for running her first event, because I know, as a youth network leader, how incredibly stressful it can be and how daunting it can be to run an event, especially when it's your first one and you're doing it for such a big organisation like Arts Award. You kind of want to do a really good job. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it can be really stressful. So congratulations, Meredith, on what sounded like a fantastic event. If you want to run your own event, you should log on to artsawardvoice.com, where not only will you find a review of Meredith's event, but you can also find a guide written by Josh Gold.
He's written a how-to, and he hosted his event for his Gold Arts Award, I think, in December. I attended. It was absolutely brilliant. You could write on the walls. There was about a million cakes. I felt like I was in Alice in Wonderland. So he wrote a how-to on how to run an event, and it's really brilliant. Lots of people look at it all the time, and it's on Artswood Voice for advice if you want to run an event of your own.
Yes. Sorry about freezing there. I completely actually forgot his name. I knew it was Josh, and it was like, Josh... apologies, Josh. It's a really, really good article, a fantastic resource for anybody who wants to do an event.
That's another thing, actually, that the YNLs do. The YNLs also contribute articles every month to Arts Award Voice, which is great for me. So, you should check them out. Meredith's written some great pieces as well on the website, so yeah.
Yes. So, basically, the summary message here is check out artsawardvoice.com for all of the latest and greatest news. That is definitely salient at the moment because there are going to be lots more exchange events happening in the upcoming months. On the topic of voice, we're going to have a quick discussion now about some of the content that you have been putting up on the site. And just as I say that, I realise that actually the first thing we're going to talk about is not something you put up on the site, but it's something that has been put up on the site because voice has been taken over by Artsbox for this month. Now, Flossie, what is Artsbox?
Artsbox is a new national online digital portfolio. And it was developed by young people in schools, been tested on 400 young people over the past few months. And now it's just been rolled out nationally. And it'll be really useful for really anyone who wants to share their artwork and their creative work. But specifically for people doing Arts Award, it's a great place for you to put your work, for advisors to be able to check on it.
So it's a digital online portfolio, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Now, I happen to know that this was... inspired by the Henley Report, which was a math... Or the Henley Commission? Henley Report? Henley Commission? I can't remember. So, in fact, I don't know at all. but it was something to do with Henley, and it basically said that young people need a digital storage locker, I suppose, I think was the word or the terminology used, where they can sort of store their cultural... their cultural assets, so to speak. And it's for 5 to 25-year-olds, and anybody can sign up, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yes. And Artsbox have taken over Voice for this month, so you're going to see a lot of content up there from them, and the website has been changed slightly, so now it's got all of the artwork and all the graphics for Artsbox on there. It looks quite funky and
quite colourful. Yeah, it's looking lovely.
Mm. Really nice. So I recommend that you log on there to have a look at it before it goes, because they will only have control of the site for a limited time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those DFS sales
that
never end. It's like, be there before it's gone, because it'll be back again like 2 weeks later as a summer deal.
It's not going to be like that. It will only be here for a couple of weeks.
It's literally only here for a couple of weeks. So log on to Voice and have a look at the artwork, and then go on to Artsbox and...
Sign up. I mean, the great thing about Artsbox is that there's also an app, which means that you can take photos and videos while you're on the go, and then automatically it's uploaded to your Artsbox. So it just makes everything so much easier, so much more accessible. It means you can share it much more easily with your friends, because obviously making a tangible portfolio, you'd have to carry that around with you and, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, and also a couple of our youth network leaders were lucky enough to have a little... sneak preview of Artsbox before it was rolled out, and they have both said it's amazing and that it will help people, let more people do Arts Award, and so I think
definitely
it's a really useful resource.
Out.
Yeah,
cool. So that's Artsbox. Go and check it out. And the other topic I wanted to talk about today was an article posted up a couple of weeks ago by a user called Rosalind Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And she discusses on the article whether or not photography... Well, she sort of challenges the conception of soft GCSE subjects. Now, she in particular uses the example of media studies and photography, but I think that included in that we should also perhaps incorporate things like textiles and art and maybe drama as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to have a discussion with you about what your thoughts on that topic was.
Yeah.
So, because, like, I was such a GCSE snob when I was doing my GCSEs. I don't know why, because I was doing business studies, but for some reason I thought, ah, I'm doing business studies, I'm going to be a media mogul, whereas somebody who's taking photography is just going to be snapping on their iPhone, doing Instagram, etc., etc.
But Instagram is art! Instagram is art!
I say Instagram, I don't think Instagram was about when I was doing my GCSEs, which is horrible.
Hey, I'm so much older than you. Let's get started on this.
Oh, it's horrible. But yeah, I just really looked down at people who were doing photography and art. And since I've been in the art world, I've come to appreciate so much more the amount of work and the amount of talent you have to sort of participate in that market and be in that environment, because it's so easy to do a finger painting, but it's so difficult to, like, do a landscape or do any kind of art and make it look good. I think anybody can be a photographer. I mean, the iPhone is the biggest camera,
yeah,
on Flickr uploading photos, but not all of those pictures are good, and very, very few of them would ever be considered professional art.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think on soft subjects?
Well, at my school, there was a lot of pressure about, you know, if you want to get into university, then these are the subjects you can and can't do. So I kind of got very, very nervous about, oh, I shouldn't choose things. You know, I shouldn't choose... Because we were told, you know, politics is a soft subject, classics is a soft subject, theatre studies is a soft subject. Photography wasn't even offered. That stuff like that wasn't even offered. And I think it's really sad because I didn't feel able to have the kind of creative experiences, which I think are really useful and really important. And you can't forget about transferable skills. You know, you learn so much from doing creative things. So I think, it is frustrating that there is this kind of stigma around supposed soft subjects, when actually, as you say, I mean, it takes a lot of skill and hard work, and it's not like I doubt you'd pick them just because you think they're a dot. So you pick them because you love photography, and
I know one person who picked it as a dot. He had to change because he was like, I can't deal with the work. Like,
it's really hard. There was a bit of snobbery once I got to university. I remember someone asking me on one of the first evenings, oh, so, you know, what subjects did you do at A level? And I said, oh, I did classics, politics, English and history. And they went, oh, so really only two of your subjects counted. And I thought, yeah. And I was like, oh, zinger. Like, yeah. That is so mean.
You went to, like, a proper elitist university.
Hey, well, they let me in, they can't have been that elitist.
But Flossie, however much you sort of devalue yourself, you're pretty adequate, let's say. And I think that is the other thing. So, there's a stigma attached to taking GCSEs and A-levels within that age group, but I think universities perhaps are somewhat guilty of perpetuating this idea that some subjects are more valid than others.
Mm-hmm.
So do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Well, for a fact, I think... I know that Oxbridge specifically say we don't really count these A-levels. Which creates this snobbery... which, again, as you said, oh, I look down on people and things like that. And I think it's not healthy to be creating that amongst people, of thinking, you know, what I'm doing is of more value or whatever, because at the end of the day, you're all working towards getting an award.
And now I'm doing politics at university.
I really wanted to do politics at university.
So I have literally no ground to stand on. So I will take this opportunity to apologise to anybody at school who I am. Ridiculed for walking around with a camera and saying they were busy, because I now know that actually it's a ridiculous amount of work. I had another point on the subject of universities.
Yeah.
But what it was actually going to extend to was more the sort of battle between science and art.
Because
there is a lot of contention between people who study it and people who don't study it but think they know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I would really love to see a breakdown of the barriers between people who study science and people who study arts, and thinking that they are complete dichotomies and they're unable to even appreciate each other's skill sets. I went to see, and then I interviewed Festival of the Spoken Nerd recently, who are simply incredible. If you ever get the opportunity to go and see them, I really recommend you do. They are currently on tour as of this date, which is February. details on articlevoice.com, as is the interview. But the way they kind of break down the walls between science and then entertainment and comedy is really quite inspiring, because they do it in a really informal and educated way while at the same time being ridiculously funny and sort of appreciating how society works. And I don't know about you, Flossie, but I kind of think that sometimes that is overlooked by...
Well, I wish that in general there was more of a focus on linking all of the subjects and how they're all relevant to each other, because I think that creates the most exciting and innovative work. I remember I went to a class of someone who was teaching at an American university, and he was teaching biology, but he taught it using musicals. Yeah, it sounds crazy. It was brilliant. And I think I've met so many PhD students who are doing, you know, things like DNA, but in Zadie Smith novels or something like that. And I just think, that bringing those two things together will create something new and exciting and original and really good. Actually, last month, for New to You, we had a brilliant article by Justine Malone, who wrote about hybrid arts, which is all about technology and art coming together. And I think it's those kind of new possibilities which are really exciting. And I think there's definitely been, with the new £9,000 fees for university, there's definitely been a thing about, oh, it needs to be worthwhile. Why would you spend £9,000 to read some books? You know, it needs to be more funding for people doing science and having tangible results. But then I think, I don't want to live in a world where there aren't books.
Art
is so important. Art is important science is important to us developing the world and saving people's lives and things, but art is definitely important to us developing as individuals and showing compassion. And yeah, it gives life meaning. So I think we're on really dangerous territory of people thinking that art is getting devalued because of the whole financial aspect of it, but also there's so many more exciting new possibilities as science and art can increasingly come together.
Well, the financial element you bring up is ridiculous, because so much money is ploughed into scientific research. And don't get me wrong, I think a lot of it, not all of it, a lot of it, is really worthwhile. But equally, it's not like the art sector is a waste of money. Mm-hmm. I covered this, I think it might have been at the end of last year on Voice, but the art sector is one of the most growing sectors in the UK economy. I think for every pound that the government subsidises for arts organisations or arts activities and so forth, £7 is contributed back into the economy. So you've got a ratio of 1 to 7. That is just phenomenal for the results you see. And there has been like so many proven researches into how arts benefits society, how it enhances social cohesion and that kind of thing. And to just simply disregard it or see it as an expense just because because a load of bankers got a little bit greedy and messed up. See the self-control. That other sectors need to suffer. I think that it's completely ridiculous, and I think that perpetuating this myth of arts being not value for money, not as valued as science, and subjects like photography, art and media not being important, needs to end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've had a really rough couple of years in the arts world recently. Funding has been cut and all over the place, and it's been, you know, really difficult. But it might be that we need to teach all the creative people that you need to be able to, unfortunately, cynical as it is, you need to be able to really demonstrate the financial impact of what you're doing. And maybe if we tried to do that more, not saying it's our fault that we didn't in the past, but it's important that we do now to try and kind of fit into the way things are kind of moving at the moment.
Yeah, but I think it's still dangerous territory where you have to show financial value.
Oh, absolutely. Everything. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? Hop onto Voice and let us know your opinions. We might, at some point, also set up a email account so that you can actually email us with your opinions. But Voice will be the place to go for now, or alternatively, you can tweet us at @artsawardvoice. That is an amazing way to try and say that, at @artsawardvoice.
Yeah.
Yes. So hop onto Twitter, hop onto Voice, and let us know what you think.
And now I'm delighted that we have Josh Savage, my friend and musician extraordinaire, here for an interview.
Hello. Well, I'm a solo artist, and so I write my own songs, and I write string arrangements for my gigs and stuff like that. And I grew up in Paris, and then I moved to Winchester, and I've just been pretty much touring the whole time and gigging a lot with my string trio or band or my own. I did a degree in music at York, and I was in a band there called Taming the Savage, which is it's a bit of a crack name. kind of a joke on my last name, but we had like 2 days to choose a name, so we went for that. And I gigged loads of them, and then I graduated and I focused on my solo career, and I've literally just been touring all over the place.
And is it true that you arranged the whole tour yourself?
Yeah.
So we have lots of young people who read the website and who will hopefully be listening to this podcast. That would be amazing if you could give them advice about how do you become a successful young musician and how do you arrange things like that?
Well, there's loads of kind of platforms that can help you out. So, for example, I booked my tour by joining the Unsigned Guide, which costs about 30 quid a year, but it's worth every single penny because it gives you a list of contacts, of venues, of promoters and festivals and stuff like that. So if you're dedicated enough to do it, then you can pretty much do anything you want. So for example, I took two weeks out of work and emailed about 600 people asking
to
do gigs.
Oh my gosh.
And booked my own tour from that, and that's pretty much what I've been doing since, and that was last year. And there's two routes to do it, really. You can either do YouTube covers and do that kind of route, or you can tour and gig as much as possible because you're playing to new faces, and so that's going to help build your momentum. And or you can do both, but doing both is quite impossible. I'm trying to do both, but it's really time consuming. I've got a Spotify premium account, which is absolutely amazing. It lets me discover new music.
That's their slogan, isn't it?
Yeah. Discover new music.
Yeah. And but my friends tried to work out that if they played my music every single second of the day of the month, if I'd earn enough to kind of pay for their Spotify account, we were going to work out if that was possible. But then. I think he worked out that I'd only earn about a fiver for that.
Oh my god!
Even if it's on repeat for the whole month, I don't.
Oh my god!
I'd only earn a fiver for it, and a membership's about 10 quid a month.
Okay. So.
That's the thing. It doesn't help funding the music, but Spotify is such a good platform to get yourself discovered. And it's the same with iTunes too. Like, for example, iTunes isn't the most cost-efficient thing to sell your music because they take quite a big cut. They take about 40% of the sales. And there's another means called Bandcamp.
Okay.
That only takes 15%. The thing is, people didn't really start listening to my music until they found out it was on iTunes. It was on Bandcamp ages before that. But because it was on iTunes, it's a bit more...
Recognised.
Recognised, yeah. Mm. So people are, he's taking it seriously.
Yeah, it seems more legit, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, the record labels, they're not really that important anymore. And you can actually build a career independently. Whereas before, you're literally banking on getting that record deal and that's it. And so it's kind of better in that aspect because... It kind of picks out the people who are really dedicated and really believe in what they do and those that are kind of half-heartedly doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
in your career, have you got a manager? Are you signed to a record label, or are you still remaining independent?
I've had a few offers from record labels and management, and I was actually recently on a free trial with a manager, but it didn't work out in the end. And I think it's these days getting signed to a management agency or a label isn't really that difficult, but it's what that can actually do for you.
Mm.
And so all the offers I've had really have not really, I haven't found them that, I didn't feel they would help me at this stage just yet. And also it's hard because you don't want to commit to someone and then possibly lose out on a better
deal. Yeah, the big thing will be round the corner.
And that's the thing, I've just started, really, I've just been doing it for a year or so now. So it's still really early days, and I still kind of want to get these EPs out. So I've got an EP coming out on the 7th of April, and just see kind of what happens with it, with that, and then I've got a French one coming out too in summer. So I just want to get these out and then maybe see what comes out of it.
Details, what is it?
So it's called Spaces EP, and it's coming out on the 7th of April on iTunes, Spotify, and physical CDs and everything. And if you're about the EP launch is on the 5th of April at the Spice of Life in Soho.
Wow, yeah, we should put that as an opportunity on Arts World.
Yes.
An event.
Is it open for everyone to turn up?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll make
it good that you checked.
Everyone come on down. Oh, no, wait, you're not allowed in. He doesn't want to see you now. Good. Now he's switched.
Everyone come down.
Okay, cool. Spice of Life at Soho, 5th of April.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have a clear end goal, because as long as you enjoy the journey, that's the main thing. And yeah, like you said, it's like I gave it a try, and if it doesn't work out, then at least I tried. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. Because most people, they don't tend to follow their dreams because they're scared of failing. And that's literally what Lost in Paris is about. I've got this bit which says, try again, fail better, because we all fail at some point in our lives, and it's by failing that you kind of learn more.
So is that the advice that you would give to young people wanting to be...
Yeah, like, just give it a go and enjoy the journey. That's the main thing, because if you're not going to try, you're kind of failing already, because you're always going to have that in the back of your mind telling you, oh, I should have given it a go. And that's the thing, you shouldn't be scared to try.
Plug everything you have.
Oh, yeah.
Your Twitter, your Facebook, all of your EPs. Go. This is your moment to shine and sell.
I've got the debut EP that's already on iTunes. And then there's the English one that's coming out, the Spaces EP, on the 7th of April. All the social media links are on my website, joshsavagemusic.com. And there's gig listings on there and everything. So just head to the website.
Head to the website. JoshSavageMusic.com. Words are my tool. We'll say thank you, Josh. Thank you, Flossie, for taking part in this interview as well. Please do go and visit JoshSavageMusic.com. Buy his EP. Come down to...
launch.
Yes, come to the EP launch. 5th of April at...
Spice of Life.
Soho.
Yes. So do all of those things, and we'll say thank you to Josh. Cheers.
Thank you.
Okay, so that is actually all we have time for today. We hope you've enjoyed it. This is the first one of hopefully many. We welcome all feedback. If you want to send us a tweet, again, that's at Arts Award Voice. Or alternatively, you can hop onto the website and write a review of this podcast here. We would actually really love that. All criticism is welcome. So today we have discussed what's happened within the YNL with Meredith's event. We've given you some of the news headlines. We really do encourage you all to hop onto the website and find out what's going on within the news world. We've discussed in depth the soft subject debate, as well as a discussion about how ArtsBox can help you with your Arts Award. And then finally, we have been lucky enough to have an interview with Josh Savage, whose work name I still can't really say right, which made for an exciting interview. So really, all that's left is to say thank you very much for listening, and we wish you all the very best of weeks and months.
And now, to play us out, is Josh Savage's song, Horoscopes, which you heard a bit of earlier.
Bye.
Bye.
Good girl, why do you live your life reading the sky? Can you not decide a puff of cheese? Do you like doing what you're told to do? Girl, I can see you hide in your disguise. Beneath sugar, spice, and all things nice, there's a fire, fire burning that you can't stop. But the stars, they say that I'll need you astray. Forget the skies, I contemplate your eyes, that I need to be informed of my affection. If you need a sign or contemplate mine, I'm already off track and I'm scared to let it grow. When you grabbed hold of me, the stars will say that only tears stray, but in outer space, how we see was wait. Forget the skies, I contemplate your eyes, that I need to be informed of my affection. And if you need a sign or contemplate mine, I'm already track and I'm scared to let it go. Stars, they say.